This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Huh? Isn't it? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord, huh? That's a little better. That's a little better. Well, welcome to our humble church here, Guts, pound for pound. Just an amazing church. Just so many people serve, so many people give. I don't know that there's a more generous group of people anywhere. And I'll tell you, it hit me. It's probably been 7 or 8 years ago. I was somewhere in this, and the speaker was asking, "Now, how do you want to be known, or how do you want people to know you?" I'll tell you what just hit me. My knee-jerk reaction is, I want to be generous. And I've made sure that just like the blind man that had to fight his way through the apostles of the Lamb and the ushers that were there when Jesus was speaking and he was crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and they told him to be quiet and tried to hush him up, and he cried all the louder, and Jesus said, "Look, let him come to me," and he comes up to Jesus, and it's interesting, he was blind and obviously blind and crying out for Jesus to have mercy on him. And Jesus asked him a simple question that I think is vital for us to ask as often as we can. He said, "What can I do for you?" And I think that's how the church should be. I think that should be the kind of the byline of Christians and the church of the Lord is that, what can we do for you? Because we're here for you. You know, it's interesting because last week, this week, I'm talking about thankfulness and gratefulness And you know, gratefulness really is, a lot of times, it's subject to our situations in our lives, our circumstances. And what happens when your circumstances limit your thankfulness? What happens? I believe what it does is it opens a door for doubt, for unbelief, for us to be second-guessing, like, what truly, where our feet are planted spiritually. And you know, it was amazing. I'll tell you, Friday was amazing over at Groceries Here and in Skytook. You guys that aren't aware, we do have a church property in Skytook right on Rogers. It's a main street that cuts through Highway 20 in Skytook, right through the heart of downtown. And we have what was formerly a furniture store in Skytook, and we turned it into a church and bought the building next door, which was the post office. And it's our kids' church. And across the street this last week, we obtained the Bayouth building, which we're going to move the distribution center from the church building across the street to the Bayouth building, just to be able to expand that operation. There were over 300 families there Friday for Friday groceries. And, you know, it's just amazing that when you begin to meet the needs of people, what happens. And that's who we want to be. We just want to be people that, man, we're ready. We're ready to give and willing to share, and we'll help pay the price to get it done. And last year, the church gave well over $1 million to outreach and missions. And, you know, I mean, that's generous. That's, you know, when you're giving as a church turns into the amount's got a couple commas in it, it really starts to make a difference in people's lives. And I understand that's just faithful, sometimes sacrificial giving, people. And I'm appreciative and I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Friday, I was at Friday Groceries, and, you know, it was interesting because I saw Sandy over in the food line, and I asked her, I said, "Sandy, did you get to serve turkey?" And she said, "No, I served corn." And I thought, John needs a talking to, maybe, John Pence, because corn, no real nutritional value. It's really, I don't even think it's a vegetable. It's like a grain. It's like cow's, it's like, what? It's probably, you eat at the movie house maybe, but didn't even give her the turkey. I don't understand. No gravy. They didn't give you the gravy bin. You got corn. They put you at the corn. Anyway, I was. That's a whole nother subject. I got that off my chest. But I was sitting on a stool just praying, and I'll tell you what was interesting. What dawned on me were the spiritual dynamics of that room. That spiritually what was happening in that room, because people were coming in with stuff and I think legitimate demonic things. And you know, and I mean, you get that many people, especially that many people that are a lot of them shackled to poverty. And I was just in there praying, and this guy comes walking up to me, and he said, "Man, I got a problem with this." And I'm thinking, "Oh yeah, I would too. I'd have a problem with people giving you groceries for a week and a hot meal and shoes and clothes and anything else you need. Whatever you need, we'll give it to you." And he goes, "No, I got a problem with this. Why do you let those handicapped people go ahead of us?" And I said, "You mean like her?" And it was like this 90-year-old woman in a wheelchair. And there's just people that are ungrateful, you know. And with that, what it did was it kind of was a dagger for me to remain remain grateful. I don't think I could get that ungrateful, but I think that I can be ungrateful at times. And man, I sure don't want to be. And because we're not thankful or grateful for everything in our life, but we're Christians. We've got a duty to be grateful and thankful in everything in our life, no matter what. Okay. It's not for everything, but in everything. And I believe what God does is what our thankfulness does is our thankfulness forces our circumstances to line up with our purpose. And see, I think it's a big deal. I think there's a lot of people that aren't living their life of purpose because their circumstances are limiting them, but I believe our thankfulness causes our circumstances to align or to line up with the purpose of our lives. And I'll be real honest with you, that's where I'm going. That's my end game for our church services, for the growth track, for Friday groceries, for any of the outreaches we do, is just to help people align with their purpose. Man, God, you're fearfully and you're carefully made. God meticulously, listen, placed you on this planet now. So, man, let's be about purpose. Let's be about God's word. Do you guys love God's word? Man, I so love God's word, and it's so amazing. Hebrews 4:12 says that it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to separate your soul and your spirit, meaning what's born of God and what you just think. It's able to separate that. It's able to separate your bone and your marrow. It's able to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That's what Hebrews 4:12 says. And so I'm so thankful that God's given us his word. Listen to this. The Bible says the entrance of his word brings light, and in it there's no darkness. So if there's dark areas, there's deficient areas of your life, it just means you got to bring the word into it. You got to bring, man, and then you got to speak that word. So let's turn to our Bibles today. Let's go to the primary text, Ephesians, the first chapter. Giants eat peas and carrots, okay? Ephesians, the first chapter. It's easy for you to get there. That's for you guys that still have a book and call it a Bible. The rest of you guys have a phone, a gadget, and call it your Bible. How many, like, hold up your Bibles. Everybody wave your Bibles to me. Yeah. It's like a Verizon Sprint fest in here. But let's get in the word here for a minute. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now listen, write this down, okay? Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Wow. I don't know about you, but that is a haymaker. That right there just changed the entire game. Everything just shifted spiritually in every person's life in this room. And that's how you have to understand God's word. God's word causes shifts. And everything just shifted. What happens is you just shifted into the lead in your life. You just shifted into being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You just shifted into the greater works place that Jesus promised. See, so he has blessed us. So write that down. He has blessed us with, and understand this. God operates by baptism. When we read and we say those who are who believe and are baptized will be saved, that word baptized, you know, we initially go to religiously and I think piously go to water. And really it doesn't refer to water there. It talks about baptism because that's what God's about. God's not about eyedroppering. Does it sound awkward? God's not about eyedroppering his blessings into your life, just dripping. It's not like this slow drip in your life. Here's what God wants to do. He wants to pour it into your life. He wants there to be an outpouring of his blessing in your life. So much so that you can't deal. It's like, oh my gosh, where it changes. Remember that shift. See, so baptism comes into play where instead of something, you're being sprinkled with it, God wants to immerse you into his blessing. And that's what this is, that he has blessed us. He has immersed us in every spiritual blessing in Christ. And and you know what it goes? It goes farther than, and it says, and the next verse says he chose us. Wow, I wouldn't have chose me. I wouldn't have picked me. But God chose me. God picked me. See, we got to get over the rejection that the enemy wants to give us this perception that, oh, everybody's just about to reject. No, let me tell you something. Don't have that rejection thing on you. Man, you've been picked. Man, you're in. Man, you're a part of the beloved now. You're in the family now. This is fixing to get really good. You're going to leave here built up and edified. Anybody in that on that? Huh? How many of you guys want to be better than the way you came in? See, that's what God's called for you to be. Let's allow God's word to build us up and to edify us in here today. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before you screwed everything up, before Adam and Eve messed everything up, God chose you before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose us to be holy. We are holy not because we do the right, say the right things. Not just because we don't have any impure thoughts. Not because we check every box right. No, you know what? We're not here to pass the test. We are holy because Jesus died for us. We're holy because he shed that blood for us. We're holy because he defeated death in the grave for us. He chose us. So you know what? That makes us holy. Just because he picked us. Verse 5, having predestined. This is a pet peeve. This is one of those... You want to pick a fight with me, you come talk to me about predestination and disagree with the word because it really bothers me. Man, there's people that'll say, well, yeah, you know what? Man, there's just people that are destined to go to hell. No. Peter made it very clear it's God's will that none should perish. Okay, the will of God is that none should perish. And that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we've got to understand that some of the doctrine that people espouse are man-made, okay? And we've got to be very careful about that. We got to make sure we draw from the word and we make sure we read it, man, and not the letter, but the spirit of the law through the heart of God, man, the heart of a father. It says that having predestined us not to calamity or to a tumor or to a train or plane wreck or whatever, but he, not because your number came up, but he predestined us, listen, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which, listen, he made us accepted in the beloved. God has predestined us to being accepted into the beloved. See, what that does, it eliminates us even having the right to be rejected. Man, you're rejected because you were left out of a party list. You're rejected because you didn't get a promotion. You're rejected because maybe that cop stopped you instead of the other 10 people that just passed you. No, you know what? We can't take on that because what that rejection is going to do, it's going to lead to a spirit or an attitude of rejection. And then we become these Christian fatalists that I can't deal with anymore. Man, we've got to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from above. God is good, and he does good things in our lives. And you know what? We align our lives with him, our life becomes good. He's blessed us in every spiritual blessing. He's predestined us to be accepted in the beloved. I've been accepted. I'm in. I don't need any other acceptance. I don't. I can't open my heart up and allow people to come in and throw all the whatever kind of offensive stuff they want to. You know why? I can put a guard on my heart. I'm unoffendable. Man, you might say something. It might bother me, but you know what? I better check myself 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. If I let that go 10 or 12 or 15, if I let that go a couple minutes, if I stew on that for 30 minutes, oh my gosh. Man, the next thing you know, all I'm doing is I'm digging a hole and I'm trying to pull the dirt back on top of me, bury myself in it. No, you know what? You've got to check yourself. You're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus. You're getting bigger. You're getting better. You're getting stronger. Man, you're being edified by the word today. You're getting built up. Man, you've got to understand that. Man, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. We've been accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. I think about Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who's made us and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Listen, listen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That right there is a nutshell. That right there is one of those things that you've got to commit to your heart. You got to engraft that in your heart. Man, I'm coming in and I'm thankful. Man, I'm in. See, what God wants us to do, let me tell you how church works for me. And I understand that this may oversimplify it for some of you guys that need all the trimmings and all the icing on it and all the extras. But for me, here's what church is. We've got to do everything we can do to get people in the room. Just get them in the room. And we go to the parable of the master that threw a party, had a feast, and no one came. And then they opened it up to more people, and there was still room. And then he said, look, go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in. Listen, that my house may be full. See, I feel like our responsibility is to invite, is to follow up, is to lift the room, is to make this a place that people want to be when we do this. Okay? So just to fill the room. Because let me tell you what God will do, and this is what's awesome. This is what's going to trip your trigger. We get in the room, God will give us a seat at the table. Now, I don't know about you guys, some of you business guys that are in here, some of you guys that have negotiated deals, you want a seat at the table. I don't want somebody else negotiating my deal. I don't want somebody else speaking for me. Man, I'm telling you, I want all of God that I can get. I want a seat at that table, man. And see, and what God does is he gives us a seat at the table and prepares a feast in the presence of our enemies. See, we've got to understand now. It's like, wait a second, you're here now. How many of you guys are paying attention to the word that's being spoken today? How many of you guys are alert to what God's saying? Let me tell you what that means. You got a seat at the table. This is a big deal. It's a seat of power, it's a seat of authority, it's a seat of dominion. Oh my gosh, I'm just telling you, everybody in this room, when Roger Walsh, when he teaches, man, authority, spiritual authority and submission to authority and all the things, we're like, whoa, wait a minute. Man, when he teaches that in the second mile, you need to have your fanny in this room. Man, the bottom line with this is everything in the kingdom is built on authority. And God wants to give you a seat at the table of authority. Here, let me try this again, okay? Because there should be some emotion in this, okay? There should be some kind of reaction. This is a big deal, okay? God wants to give you a seat at his table of authority. Yeah. That was contrived. That was a little contrived, okay? It's remedial. We'll work on it. We'll get the crayons and construction paper out here in a little bit. The rounded scissors. Let's go back to Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Here's another one. In him, we've been paid for. How many guys have ever sinned? How many? No, I'm not talking about you jaywalked. How many guys have jaywalked? Let me see your hands. How many guys jaywalked 10 feet from a sidewalk? How many of you guys jaywalked 10 feet from a sidewalk and flipped the cars off that are honking at you? Okay? I'm just going to where people live here. All right? Come on. There's some people in here. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you guys have sinned? Let me see. Okay. Bingo. Guilty as charged. But listen, what God's done is he's given us, we walk into, it's so amazing. It's like right here is this line, that this demarcation of our salvation. And I'm living right here, and I can even kind of sense that there's this salvation that's just over this line right here. And I'm living, and I'm 6'1", and I'm 56 years old, and I'm brown headed, and I'm a male, and then I get to this thing that we refer to as salvation, which is just redemption, man. And you know what I do? I cross over into that place of redemption. And let me just tell you, everything changed. The dynamics of everything are completely different now. When you cross over in that salvation experience that we refer to, and redemption comes into play, and it's redemption by what? His blood. See, this blood covenant that we have, there's two things that I know that I want to preach extended series on in 2015, which I'm very excited about. I'm hoping we start a couple churches in 2015. I really do. What I want to do is tie my wagon to the horses of momentum we have in this church and just win some people to Jesus. And I mean, and go. But we have to look at this, that what happened with this redemption and the blood covenant, the two things that I want to preach, about people's misconceptions of God, the unknown God. Okay, they know about him, they know of him, but they really know him. I want to preach an extended series on just people's misconceptions. And the other one I want to, it's blood covenant, is that this covenant isn't just an agreement. You know, we didn't get a secret handshake when we came in. We don't pay dues. We don't have a card. We're not lifetime members. What happens is this blood covenant, man, that and it's going to talk about that we become family now. That God's our dad now. But we cross over that line of salvation, and what happens is I'm redeemed. That means I'm paid for. That means all the sin I've ever committed, everything I've ever done, no matter how heinous, no matter how shameful, no matter how guilty, no matter how much, I'm telling you, that blood, what it does is it expunges that the record of that sin, so much so that it annuls its existence like it never happened. The power of this redemption is mind-blowing. Man, you've got to understand that the thoughts that God thinks for you, he's not wishing you were doing this better. He's not. He's looking at you. Do you understand? Jesus was the Christ. You know why God made him the Christ? Is so that as a man, he would be hidden in this deity. He'd be hidden in God's presence, in the anointing. He'd be hidden in this Christ. That's now that we're hidden in Christ now. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When God sees me, he sees deity. He sees Christ. He sees the anointing. He sees his presence on the life of a man, which is what he intended mankind to be. You know what I can do that God can't do? Do you know I have an ability to do something that God can't do? You know what I can do? I can worship him. Do you know what worship is? Worship is me finding something greater than me and adoring it. Well, there's none greater than God. See, I can worship God. That's what I'm built for. And listen, don't confuse it with just music. And I love our music. I love every time they get up, it just moves it. My heart, it becomes emotional, and I love it being emotional. It's so funny, people say, well, you know, it's just emotion. It's not just emotion, but it's emotional. It's a big deal to me. Man, I'm passionate about this. But see, you look at your life now, and I just live. I just wanna worship God. Well, you know what happened? It's because I crossed that line. That line of redemption where, you know what, I'm right with God now. Do you know what right standing, you know what righteousness is? Is right standing. Do you know what right standing is? Is that you're elevated to eye level. Oh my gosh, Bill Shear from East Central Missouri gets to be in right standing at eye level with God? This is a big day. This is amazing. That all of my sin, I'm washed clean from it, that I'm not subject to it anymore, I'm accepted in the beloved. So now the rejection from whomever doesn't matter anymore because God's accepted me. Oh my gosh. I'm talking about game changing here. I'm talking about everything coming into our favor. Let me tell you, how many of you guys, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys say, man, life's not fair? I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's not fair. We win. How fair is this? No weapon formed against us can prosper, yet everything I put my hand to will. This thing, let me tell you what's guaranteed here. It's sealed. Paul goes on to write, this is sealed by the Holy Spirit, sealed by God himself. You know what that seal is? Authority. Man, everything is founded and built on authority in the kingdom. God's not negotiating anything. God's not doing any deals. God set before us life. God's given us his word. You know what the Bible says? To put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins are girded with the truth, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's given us the, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm you. He's given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's given you the shield of faith that blocks everything the enemy throws at you. We can't lose. All we do is go on the offensive and take new ground and take new hills and overcome. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I overcome by the word of my testimony. But you know what I can't do? I can't ride this out. I can't just be circumspective. I can't just analyze it. I can't just sit back and overthink it. You know what I've got to do? I've got to stand and deliver. And you know how I deliver? I speak. I believe and therefore speak. I say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in my heart. I have whatever I say. What kind of fairness is in that? Let me tell you who's saying this isn't fair. The devil. That's who's saying it's not fair. He got sickness in your body. And God said, whoop, 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 whoop. He's taking a stand of faith that can't harm him. That's not fair. Man, I got in. Yeah, you got in. Oh, let me, he just said, devil, I bind you. Oh, you're bound. He's like, look, that's not fair. I can't even move. He said, I command you to go to a dry place and to seek rest and to find none. I got to what? God says, you got to go. Okay, I'll go, but I'm going back. No, you don't get to go over there. No oasis. No resort for you. You go to a dry place. You go to seek rest. You know what? Because that Christian, that's my son right there. My son Scott has just worn you out, devil. So guess what? You got to go to a dry place. You get to seek rest and you get to find none. Let me tell you what the devil is when you start speaking the word. Tired. He is worn out. He is downtrodden. He is defeated. You speak the word, you begin to believe. How many guys have ever taken a stand and you believe God's word? How many guys have ever taken one of God's promises and say, I believe and I'm not budging? How many guys, Rachel, let me see your hands. Let me tell you what that does. That takes the back of the devil's head and takes his nose and rubs it in the defeat he suffered at the hands of Jesus. See, that's what it does. All you are is that simple reminder. I'm a simple man. Devil, I want to remind you, you lose every single day. I win, you lose. I win every day, you lose every day. You're not gonna touch my marriage. You're not gonna touch my children. You can't have my finances. This church is gonna grow. Man, we're gonna fill this room. People are gonna get a seat at the table. And then you know what? And else, by what authority can you say this? That's what everybody in here ought to be asking. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I have what I say. We're not, when you give in here, and you know what I'm thankful for? We don't have a church where people say, man, where's the money go? But I'm going to be forthright and tell you where that money goes is to change lives. And if it's going to change lives, I want to throw money at it. I want to help people do it. And see, that's the bottom line. The bottom line with this, it's not going to be syrupy. You're not going to come in and go, you know what? I'm relatively comfortable here. I think I am. And you know what? It's convenient service times. And look, no, you know what? We don't want you to miss a note of this music. So you know what they do? They crank it up. Oh, this music's so loud. Let me tell you, I went to an AC/DC concert a few years ago. I didn't hear one person in there say, oh, the music's too loud. I saw 20,000 people for 2 hours and 45 minutes going like this. I'm up in a suite and people are going, hey, Pastor! I'm like, I need some coffee. But listen, we're not drawing back. We're not pulling back. Man, we're the man. Just look at it. Let's go to this last verse and then let's close. Because I want to keep preaching. Verse 11. In him also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Turn to somebody and say, this is working. This is going to work. Man, God's the healer. God's the deliverer. God will provide. This is working. This is it. And now listen, that he who first trusts in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, here's where it gets good, also, having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, the very authority of God. Let me tell you what happens. You speak the word, heaven opens up above your life, and God pours every bit of heaven. Man, the very power. You know what I could say? I could say, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And you know what'll happen? Man, the very force of heaven comes up. But you know what? We got to trust him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we believe and therefore speak. And we got to trust him. We got to speak his word. We can't speak his word and go, okay, how's it look? Doesn't matter how it looks. It happened. Man, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Listen, the spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Man, we're inheritors of his promise. I'm that purchased possession. That's what I am. I've been bought. I've been paid for. I have no debt in my life to anything eternal. That's freedom. That's liberty.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.